Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday was, how are you with someone you dislike? Record and listen. So here we go. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Ashwini. This is Brian from Detroit.
Hello.
This was a really great question because, of course, the first answer was, well, I don't dislike anybody, you know, because like that wouldn't be my spiritual person. But then in recording and listening, it got seriously interesting because I realized that I distanced myself. Conditioning will take me away from that person. It might be somebody that I'm not sure I dislike, but maybe I don't, quote, approve of them, or there's a judgment that occurs. But there's an immediate distance that takes place. And then I realized when listening that that's what always happens with everything, though. Conditioning does that to me with everything. The whole goal is to take me away from everything.
And that looking at it that way is really interesting, isn't it? It's not all of those things that would really raise flags, isolating you, isolating. Gosh, that sounds scary. But just kind of distancing, just a little distance there.
Yeah.
What harm can that cause?
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like anything except when you're looking at your life and you're like, well, I'm that little distance is like I am never actually here. And I mean, that's really the key. That's why I'm doing this practice, is because it gives me an opportunity to be here and to see what that's like, to experience that. But it's amazing.
Briefly, because not only are you not here, which, you know, we can see, well, that's kind of alarming, but the distance is actually from you.
Right.
Right? From you being present in life.
Yeah, life is here. I mean, whether I'm interacting with it or not, it's here. And conditioning says we're just going to go inside and we'll just play in there. But there's an abrupt break. There's that distance. And even if it's small, over a period of time, it has such an impact. And I was really happy to see that because being here is fun. I have so much fun. It's kind of a different kind of fun that I ever thought being here would be. But it's so interesting, and it's almost like God's laughing all the time, and now I get a chance to laugh along.
And it's way more fun than the offer that conditioned mind would make to go inside and play with it.
Yeah, because the fun conditioning keeps talking about is always in the future. That fun is always someplace else. That fun is something that is going to happen as long as I'm listening to conditioning. And it's so good to know that, because once that occurs and that comes up, you're like, well, I don't want to waste time doing that. I mean,
I want to be laughing along, checking along with God.
Exactly. I mean, that's I think that's one of the reasons I'm here, is to laugh and to have, you know, to be engaged. So yeah, what an interesting question that was.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. And produces some subtleties that it's easy for us to miss. And I just love that distance notion, because that's such a good and subtle word for what's happening to us all the time, whether we know we're being dragged down into a dark place with ego or it just feels like I'm just kind of going along. Am I really here? And am I here with me here in the pleasure, the joy of being alive? Or is there just a little saran wrap-esque distance?
It doesn't take much, because for me, conditioning can use that to like really create a breach between me and everything. It can, once that distance is there, as subtle and as small as it is, it can be used continuously, you know, to keep me in a place. So, yeah, am I really here? Am I thinking I'm here?
Right.
and that's like too, conditioning loves it when I'm thinking I'm here. That's making me laugh because,
mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brian. It's the benefit of looking at the question from the process perspective once you identify the content, right, Cherry? So if I don't really dislike anybody, but then to know that there is a way by which separation occurs with someone else allows for the process view of it to be the separation is what ego does all the time. And so noticing the process makes it easier to catch when it's happening if that process is attached to all of these content areas.
And your point being that we're never supposed to notice that, right? We're supposed to just go from content to content to content to content, failing to realize that I'm in the same process all the time.
That's right. Yeah. And then I have to fix it at the content level, which you can never do. It's just an exercise in futility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if I just changed this job, if I got a different job, different person, different place to live, I'm always focused on solving that problem with whatever content conditioned mind is offering me as the problem.
Yes. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
They're muted, I'm sure. They're unmuting. Or not.
Well, let me try another one. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Monica calling from BART.
Hello, Monica.
Hi. I'm about to jump off. But, this is a great... what I was noticing as I was listening to the call is how I can do the exercise right in the moment when I'm on the call, even if I didn't really do it the day before. And also I was like, so what I was realizing is just, just that way that if I'm critical of somebody, if I think somebody's petty, then I'm petty. Or if I think somebody's like judgmental, I'm judgmental. And I'm just kind of, reflecting back that, sort of having that experience of what conditioning is saying the other person is doing.
Isn't that handy?
It's super handy.
The handiest things to catch on to. So I'm saying, she is so petty. Oh, okay. I'm being petty. There's no big, deep spiritual conundrum involved here. It's just completely straightforward. I'm the only one doing this.
Yeah. And it's also really a challenge not to do that. In generosity, like some people just seem really generous, and then generosity begets generosity. It's really... really interesting. And then another thing about the process of the exercises, I was sitting there listening to the previous caller, and as often is the case, I was like, oh, I see that. So what can I do instead? And then I'm like, oh, that's today's assignment.
that's the distancing right there, isn't it? Instead of being in the with the experience, ego pulls us into, okay, well, what should I do?
Oh, Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying.
Well, shall I try it again, or?
Say. So
I'm listening to somebody talk about something, and I see that. I see what they're saying, and I see it in me. And here comes conditioned mind, ego, in with, oh, okay, well, what should I do instead? What should I do? And there's the distance. I'm no longer here with this person in the experience. Now I've gone, I've separated. I'm with ego looking at the person, and on a subtle or not so subtle level, well, what do I need to do to fix that person? Because that's
well,
a long way to be.
So I was getting at what could I do, and the assignment today is, like, choose acceptance, you know, like, if I'm in that situation where I'm feeling petty and constricted because I'm, you know, projecting that onto somebody else, then the antidote is to, you know, move into love and...
Yes. As long as we are not trying to cut corners, because
right.
we want to be, yeah, we want to be kind of careful, because that can be an ego ploy, right? So I'm saying, oh, he is so petty. Okay, I'm petty, and boom. Okay, what do I do? Well, I can choose unconditional love. But I haven't actually taken in the pettiness. So the advantage there for ego is I might not be so Johnny on the spot next time. So the next time I see, you know, oh, God, what a pain in the neck she is. I can just choose unconditional love. Okay? But if I'm not there to watch that, what a pain in the neck she is, I'm launched. Okay, I'm in a whole story about whatever it is, and I could spend whatever amount of time in that because I wasn't there to catch what was going on. So being willing to recognize what's going on, where that projection is coming from, and at least taking a moment to acknowledge, you know, actually that's not me. That's ego. That I'm listening to a story. I'm watching something that's going on, and I'm meant to take that personally and think it's me, and I know it's not, which would be a great recording with every one of those qualities and characteristics that ego would like us to own. You with me?
Yeah, totally. That's such a great and I don't know if it's subtle or not, but it's something that I fall for all the time, so that's really helpful. Distinction between jumping into some way to get rid of the feeling right away or the projection or whatever versus being in awareness and, you know, recognizing the whole.
Yeah, seeing that process and getting clearer about how that process works to cause suffering. And before I let you go, I want to go back to something that you said a bit ago. Just to see if I got it right, okay? So you were saying with the petty, okay, yeah, I can see I'm petty. But then I look at people who are really generous, and you weren't indicating that that's a different process, right? That somehow you are not generous and you're able to project generosity onto people. You weren't doing that, were you?
No. I was just saying that I can access generosity when I'm around generosity, and I can access pettiness. I mean, I can have the experience of pettiness when I'm around, when I'm projecting.
Right.
You know, I can have that experience, right? But I can also have generosity when I'm around pettiness, I suppose. But
There you go. Because
the generosity
is your experience. And that is not coming from ego.
Right.
So talk about a subtle distinction we want to make, right? The qualities and characteristics of ego and those of the unconditional.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really obvious. I mean, I've noticed that, like, wow, I feel so generous and open and loving around this person. You know, like, I can really go to that, those two different experiences for sure. Yeah.
And so we practice what you also said, which is, and this is slightly different from the okay, what do I do? Choose unconditional love. It's, okay, so I explore that place in me that I go to when I'm around this person. And if it's somebody you're around often, then that's really handy, right? Because it's like an ongoing workshop. And then it's, okay, so I'm feeling that. I see where that comes from. And what if I go to generosity? What happens then? What happens with me? What happens with that other? How do I perceive that other person?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know if this is what you're saying, but I'm in that constricted, shut down place, judging the person who's petty, and then I can have recall the experience of generosity that I might feel around a different person and bring that pettiness into that bigger generosity.
Yes, that you move to an experience of generosity, and then what'll be interesting is to see if there's even any pettiness around.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was really helpful. Thank you so much. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Sherry. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks, Monica. Sherry, if I was tracking that, I think what we are practicing is, okay, so there's identified with petty, right? Identified with a judgment of petty, an awareness that that's where the attention is. Then
yeah,
move the attention to.
How does that feel? What is that like? What does the world look like when I'm identified with that pettiness? Or judgment.
And that judgment, then there's that awareness that that is actually an orientation of separation, right? Which is something with practice, we can see that that's an ego orientation. And then switching to a life orientation, so that recalling the experience of generosity switches the attention to generosity. And then it's really what you practice is what you have, or the process is the outcome, or one process doesn't lead to the other. It's the ability to switch the attention between processes. And then what I heard you say to Monica is, as soon as I realize I'm petty, if I go to, well, I shouldn't be that way, or there's something wrong with me, it just switches the attention to another ego process.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And so to be very conscious of being able to change the attention to an expanded awareness process rather than another something wrong, not enough process.
Yes, yes. And as you describe that, you know, this is where we get into one of those places that ego says, well, that's cheating, but it's not. So I'm around a petty person, and of course I'm supposed to just hate that person and want to get away from them as fast as I can. But I'm doing an awareness workshop, so I'm really interested in being around that person and watching what happens to me, not to the other person, but to me. What does that feel like? What kind of story do I get into? What happens to my body when I'm taken over by that projection? Okay, and moved into that state. And then, as Monica said, she's around people who are really generous, and she goes to a generous place. Okay, then we want to be around those people until we really get it, that this is what my experience of generosity feels like. Okay, it actually has nothing to do with those people, but they're very handy to help me get in touch with my experience. And then I practice that. I practice turning my attention to it. Practice, practice, practice until I can just be walking down the street and turn my attention to that experience of generosity, and there I am. Okay, now I take that skill to the interaction with the person who has been labeled petty. And now I'm ready to go into the experience, the projection as petty or judgmental or mm-hmm. whatever it is, and then consciously turn attention to generosity and watch what mm-hmm. happens. It's not even mm-hmm. about getting to a different experience. Mm-hmm. It's having an opportunity to see how the whole thing works.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, and from we're in process.
Yes. And from seeing how the whole thing works and practicing it the way you're talking about, the only difference between the two places is whether I suffer or not. You know, that's yeah. sort of the, that's just it. It's actually a different experience to be in generosity than it is to be in pettiness. It's almost like the aperture keeps widening.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And again, I went twice to that. And then look and see what pettiness looks like. Because when mm-hmm. we're in generosity, does that other person seem petty? We mm-hmm. might see all kinds of projections uh-huh. arise with what might be more a more accurate assessment of what's going on with that person.
Uh-huh. And what I saw when you said that is that unless we don't know that until we can be in the presence of something that was judged before, and look yep. at it from a different lens.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Risa. I'm usually in Switzerland, but I'm not there right now.
Well, where are you?
I'm in Maryland.
Well, welcome to the United States.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you
saying? Well, it's been quite an awareness workshop to come to the United States.
Yeah, well, it's an awareness workshop for those of us who live here all the time. Yes. give us your version.
Well, it's really interesting to see to return to a place that's familiar, and to see really with a greater experience of practice. So I was just recognizing how I could come back to spending time with my close family, my parents and my brother, and to notice simply what we were just talking about, like to notice these moments where I get taken over, and mm-hmm. to have a greater capacity to notice that I was being taken over, and it wasn't that there was something wrong with me in that moment. And so then to have a choice of simply like holding that moment in greater awareness instead of trying to punish myself for it.
Yeah, or allow yourself to be punished, right?
Right.
So, yeah, so you're taken over. You catch on. You make the big mistake of being conscious for the takeover, mm-hmm. right? So then the next thing the system does is tell you there's something wrong with you. You shouldn't be having that experience, and you should be punished for being the way you are. And that's designed, mm-hmm. of course, to take us out of that awareness that's not me. This stuff is happening to me. I'm not initiating it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting in changing country context, because there's some of that which I'm seeing on a social level in terms of I was in one kind of society, now I'm in another kind of society, and I'm noticing that there are other messages that are external to me that I am experiencing that changing context helped me see were in fact external to me. Because I'm not receiving them in the same way that I was in the other place.
It is the best argument for traveling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just get into another culture and see how much of what we think is true and real and in quotes me is simply cultural.
Yeah.
It has actually nothing to do with whatever might loosely be called reality. Yeah. Can you give us an example, just for anybody who might not be tracking along?
Yeah. Let me just see what comes up here. I've just been noticing how much conversation and newspaper articles and like daily experience is wrapped up in social media and just like how much that conversation and like subject content is coming to the surface, whereas where I was living, it's simply like there are conscious decisions that are made on like a governance level in the country that really control how new technology is integrated and the rate at which it's integrated. And so also there's different politics happening overall in that region and in the country. And so I've simply had like a really different experience of like, I'm like reading a newspaper article or I'm listening to a conversation. I hear people telling me like this sort of like just going on and on about the role that this has in our lives and like how it limits the way we see and how nothing's original anymore and like the pervasive manipulative elements. And I'm like, this sounds like a really great description of ego. And I really don't think it originated with social media and Facebook.
Yes. And yet coming in with that different view, you can suspect that it might be, all of those things might be very supportive of ego.
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. Makes me want to go to Switzerland.
Well, you know, every place has its opportunities for ego to slip in.
Yes, it does. Yes, indeed it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the things I project that you're seeing that you're enjoying is being able to see the work that you've done, the practice that you have been practicing revealed in this different environment in a way that you would perhaps not have seen it had you stayed in the same environment.
Yes, that is true. And I hear this voice coming up saying that I have to like write all of those things down and sort of crystallize them so that I don't like succumb to I don't sort of get absorbed into those things that I have the awareness to see. And I think that that's an invitation to record and listen, but I also think that
thank you for saying that. You know, I was on the edge of my chair waiting to be able to tell you that. Yes, very good.
Yeah, but I also wonder if it's okay to that, like, to be in presence would also mean like constantly surrendering to being here and letting the process continue to evolve as it has that allowed me to get to this awareness.
Well, yes. And there's a difference between being consciously present and going unconscious, even though, you know, almost everybody's told they're conscious. And with practice, we see the difference between being told I'm conscious and actually being here. And so to increasingly have in front of conscious awareness the ways that ego operates that you get tricked into, that you might stumble over if you weren't paying attention, I think that is really important. And, of course, that's the thing that excites me most about recording and listening, is that we do then have the opportunity to keep in front of conscious awareness the tricks, the bamboozles that ego is running. So you don't have to come here, sink down to the bottom of everything ego can do to you in this culture, and then make your way up out of it as a spiritual exercise. You might as well just, you know, stay where you are and grow from there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, great.
All right.
Thank you for
Thank
this.
You. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Thanks, Risa. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. It's amazing how when we look at a question like that and watch our process, the range of things that we can see about assumptions.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 It is. You know, yeah. Yeah.
We get a chance to see how vast all of this is. Now, the process, mm-hmm. of course, as we keep coming back to, what we're doing is the same, moving from content to process, or, you know, seeing that it's not what it's how, or how we want to do that. But the range of experience and the opportunities in the various content is impressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so our assignment for today is, have you noticed that when you're with someone you like yourself? And of course, when you're with someone you dislike, not only do you dislike them, you dislike you too. It is true that what we like about others are things we like about ourselves, and what we dislike in others are the things we dislike in ourselves. We like or dislike the way we feel around others. Just for fun, the next time you're with someone you dislike, keep your attention focused on accepting, approving of, and liking yourself, and see what happens. Record and listen.
Wow. That's a good one. All right.
All right. We look forward to hearing from everybody tomorrow.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.